Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, NurtureCo founder and CEO, Sierra Campbell.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Alfio. I am Mark Lejeune, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
We're calling our show today Caring About Caregivers, or at least that's the episode, thanks to our guest, Sierra Campbell, who has founded, as we said, NurtureCo. We'll talk about more what that is, but that is their tagline at NurtureCo, Caring About Caregivers. And it reminded me of a story that I heard from somebody I knew years and years and years ago that was studying to be a lifeguard or learning to be a lifeguard for the summer. And I remember hearing that lifeguards needed to be taught how to fend themselves against swimmers that were drowning attacking them. And I thought that was the most ridiculous thing. I think the actual conversation came up because this person actually held me in a chokehold, showing me one of the holds that they do or that he was learning. And I said, "What's that? You could choke somebody." And he said, "Sometimes that's the idea because swimmers could attack you." And I thought, "Well, why would a swimmer attack the lifeguard? That doesn't make sense." And he said, "Oh, well, what ends up happening is," he was learning, "that the swimmer is not in their right mind. All they know is that they're drowning. And so when somebody comes, or like something comes that they think they could climb on or be able to hold on to for dear life, literally, they're gonna do it. And so sometimes that means like trying to climb on top and subsequently drowning the lifeguard, or bouncing around, or you know, shuffling around, or whatever they do, I don't know, flapping around, which could make it hard for the lifeguard to actually save them. So knowing how to hold the drowning victim in a way so that they can't hurt the lifeguard, and also learning that if the victim has the lifeguard in a chokehold themselves, how to actually get out of it. And I thought, thanks to connecting the dots here with our guest and caring about caregivers, I thought, how many caregivers have I known over the years who have given to their wives or their husbands, and people keep asking, "How is he doing?" or "How is she doing?" And I've noticed the actual caregiver declining and declining in health and in consciousness and in happiness and in spirit and everything. And I see this over and over again, and I think the caregiver needs care. Or sometimes even people who love somebody else, or like they're lonely, or they're depressed, and there's one person that talks to them, and then they abuse that one person, and these people don't know how to get out of these situations. Caregivers need to know how to be caregivers, and they don't, not a lot of them plan on, "This is what I'm going to do." It just happens because they care or because they're loving people, and then things happen that ruins a lot of lives, actually. So I'm really glad that we're starting this conversation with our guest today, Sierra Campbell. And a little later on, we're going to have live music here in the studio with our guest, Alfio, here on the Life Changes Show, all right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lejeune.
You know, you call to mind that age-old comparison of the oxygen masks in the airplane.
Right.
Right, and how caregivers or teachers or helpers of any sort so often are giving or overgiving or not having the tools or not stopping to recharge themselves in order to really be present.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Exactly. Well, interestingly enough, during that quick break, our guest mentioned that she was a lifeguard. So I want to hear what she has to say on that very subject. She is the founder and CEO of NurtureCo, a company which empowers elder care providers with the technology, tools, and trainings to run successful companies in their communities. And she is Sierra Campbell. Sierra, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You were a lifeguard? I didn't know that.
I was a lifeguard in high school, and the training was for the open ocean or a lake. And that is exactly what people do when you're trying to save them, especially children, is flail their arms and basically try to drown you.
I wouldn't have thought.
It's a panic. It's a panic attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I thought of that in relation to caregivers are faced with all kinds of different situations.
Yeah, that struggle is real. There are 40 million caregivers currently that are not being paid. These are family members who leave their job to care for a loved one or someone in their family. And burnout is extremely stressful, but you can't really burn out. There's no opportunity when you're taking care of your husband, your wife, your parents, and you're their primary caregiver. It's an extremely challenging role.
And a lot of them, or probably the majority of them, haven't had training, haven't thought this was going to happen or didn't expect it to happen so soon or this way or what have you, right?
Absolutely. There is not any available training unless they want to work for a senior care facility. And that's why at NurtureCo we're working on online curriculum. And all of our stress management tools will be free for caregivers. The best way for a caregiver to give care and take care of themselves is to practice these tools on themselves.
Well, we're going to talk about the tools in a little bit, but one of the things that I find fascinating is it's almost as if you were born to do this. So from a very young age, tell us about your experiences with this.
Yes, with this thing, the D word, with death. I have an amazing grandmother. Her name's Little Dot, for Dorothy. And I was her right arm as a child. I got to cook with her and visit all of her friends. And at some point, all of her friends were getting old and dying, and her own family members. And so she had no fear of going in and cooking for them, sitting at their bedside, doing the rosary over them. And she just kind of lugged me everywhere that she went.
So, and you were how old?
That started around 5 and 6 in the summers.
Amazing exposure at such a young age.
And I'm so grateful. I feel like most kids today are not exposed to death at all until much later, 20s, 30s.
Or old age even.
Yes,
sheltered
absolutely.
From it if, on top of it, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which could be detrimental because of all the things that we're talking about. We don't know what could happen or how to do it better even if we don't even know how it's being done.
I agree. Most people are spending their time trying to anti-age. Instead of just accepting what is and addressing aging as it's happening.
Interesting. So was it something your grandmother actually said, or it was just the way she went about it that you felt like this is part of life? And you weren't traumatized by it kind of thing.
Oh, it was so normal for her. She's a completely selfless woman. She has 3 children, and at this point, she must have 20-plus grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great, still alive.
Was she still alive?
Yeah, she's still alive. Oh, wow. She still drives. She's about 90 years old.
Wow.
And yeah, so it was normal. There was nothing weird about it or scary, and it was always assumed that if you're in the room, you're helping.
Oh.
It doesn't matter what's going on. If it's dishes, if it's gardening, if it's helping someone out of bed, you're in the flow. You're in the room. You're doing something. That was the norm.
Okay, so I've known a lot of people that panic, like the drowning victims. They make things worse. They aren't even the ones that are dying, you know, or they aren't even the ones that are sick. They're the ones in the room going, oh my God, you know, that kind of thing. So what do you do? I just have to ask,
People typically ask me, what is it like to be at the bedside of the dying? And or it must be challenging. That part has never been challenging for me. The challenging part are the family members that are going, oh my God, or the siblings that haven't spoken in 20 years, and for the first time, they've all arrived at the senior facility to, you know, say goodbye, but they haven't spoken to a sibling in 20 years. So that you could cut the tension in the room with a knife.
Right? And they're trying to, like, get everything squared away before...
Or they're not trying to get it squared away. They're just totally playing out whatever pattern has been going on for all those years.
Wow, we're laughing about this only because we could just picture the drama. But it's not a laughing matter. And people don't know how to handle that either.
And often when they are in the room with their parents or loved one who's dying, those patterns and that the volatile behaviors actually get worse. Not better.
All that stuff from childhood that you did this to me and now you're still doing it, whatever, and whatever, whatever.
Exactly. All of that stuff.
And how you handle it?
Sometimes everybody out or everybody hold hands. Let's take 5 breaths together. Let's look into each other's eyes and be present for this person that's in front of us who's invited us to be here for their new beginning.
Wow. That's an energetic shift.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah. Work for me.
I don't care if you haven't spoken in 20 years. Hold hands.
Yeah. Hold hands. Look into your sister's eyes. Deal with it. Okay.
Wow. And so you're talking like this doesn't faze you. It's got to faze you.
Oh, it certainly fazed me. I mean, I started working in nursing homes at 16 and then created a senior care home care company at 21. And it was exhausting at times,
okay,
but it was so fulfilling. It trumped the exhaustion, right? The feeling of going home and knowing that I had done something, I had made an impact in people's lives. It was worth all of the exhaustion and emotional pain.
Wow. Yeah. You, from, I guess, the age of 5, have sat at over 100, you said, bedsides where the person passed,
mm-hmm.
and I asked you before the show, what did you learn from that? It's a long conversation, but there were a couple things that really stood out.
One of the most important things that I've learned from being at the bedside of the dying is just being witness to their process.
Mm.
I never really saw them as dying. So I was 16 when I was in the room with the first person who passed, and what they had shared with me and the way, even physically and emotionally, they were really going through a rebirth more than
wow.
a death. They were striving to release themselves from, let's just say, pressure, emotional pressure. They were sharing secrets they'd never shared with anyone else.
Mm.
They wanted freedom and liberation from something that was literally holding them down. And it has always appeared to me more as a rebirth.
Wow.
You know, you spoke a little bit about this before the show, and it was so helpful to me to hear about this. My first bit of service was somewhere between 9 and 10 years old. I went down the street. I lived right down the street from a senior care facility, and I decided to volunteer. And that's what I would do is I would go in and just companionship and sit down and listen. And I wasn't actually there for a transition, for a passing, but for weeks or months, I would hear stories, and I never understood why these people were sharing these stories that were way beyond my age. So to hear that, it makes, you know, kind of puts it all together for me now. Because then they would pass, you know. So I was kind of there for it, even though I wasn't there, you know, on the day maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so powerful process.
Yeah, that's one of the other things I learned that has completely changed my life is that even at 16, these seniors were listening to me.
Mm.
Wholeheartedly.
Mm.
Right? They wanted friends. They wanted interaction. They wanted connectivity. And I didn't have that kind of connection anywhere else in my life.
Mm.
And some incredibly creative people even in a nursing home in rural Indiana, there were people who had done amazing things in their life. And they really wanted to prevent me from making mistakes in my life.
Nice.
So they would just load up on stories of, lots of dating advice.
Oh, that's a whole other show. Dating advice from the dying. Interesting. One has to wonder what their life may have been like if they had shared those secrets or known how to deal with them before the last moments of their life. And also if they had shared their wisdom with younger people before that last moment. So thank you for sharing that. It's really important. And we have come to know that you have a superpower, at least one. So when we come back, we want to talk about that superpower. And then we're going to talk about more of the technology available at NurtureCo, and more of which will be available when the app gets launched in October of this year. Looking forward to all that with our guest, Sierra Campbell. And a little later on, live music here in the studio by Alfio, all on the Life Changes Show after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at LifeChangesNetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Sierra Campbell, founder and CEO of NurtureCo. I said that she had a superpower, at least one, but superpower is something really important to talk about for caregivers. Can you share, Sierra, what yours is and how you talk about superpowers for caregivers?
Absolutely. One of my superpowers is patience.
Oh, that's so hard.
And the kind of patience I'm speaking about is being able to listen to the same story maybe 100 times in 2 hours while sitting with an Alzheimer's elder.
Oh, wow.
That kind of patience where it's really about the connection with them. It's not even about words. That kind of patience. And I encourage every caregiver, I ask them first, what do you believe your superpowers are? Give me your top three. And we have a discussion around that. And we look at how does that superpower influence their life and their work as a caregiver. Like some caregivers, their superpower, one of my favorites, is the ability to be playful and to be a kid all of the time.
Mm.
That's so helpful with seniors, especially with Alzheimer's and dementia. What's your superpower, Filippo?
I don't know. I was sitting here thinking about that. It's not patience. I can tell you. But I was thinking, what a great concept to turn this superpower, oh, I could jump buildings and all that stuff, into something really useful in our day-to-day interactions.
It's also very, very useful as a care manager or an owner of an agency to understand who in the care team has which superpowers, because often a senior will need 24/7 care, and it's good to mix and match the superpowers.
Put the right people in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the right time. Brilliant. Brilliant. So what has, I'm not avoiding your question, I'm thinking about it. What, about what is my superpower? I think my superpower is avoiding questions.
You're doing a good job at the right time, at the right place.
So what inspired you to, obviously all of this, but it is specifically to start Nurture Co. And what is it, and what is it going to be?
Lots of things inspired me to do this. I would love to see more women own and operate home care companies. Women are the ones typically taking care of seniors. Very few of them actually own their own companies. Huh. And I also believe that caregivers, now this is the second part of our curriculum. I asked them, how do they feel about the golden rule? Treat others as you would like to be treated. Mm. But I asked them about how do they really treat themselves? Because caregivers... Nice. Often take care of everyone and leave themselves last.
Yeah.
And so that is just that element is very important in looking at how does the caregiver go about their own life? And at Nurture Co., I had the desire to train them in a way where they felt confident that they could prevent burnout and go into the homes of seniors with all the tools that they need. And if they don't have those tools, they'll have them online. They're on demand. So if they need something, whether it's something to do for themselves or to do with a senior, they'll be able to look it up at Nurture Co., find it, a video will pop up and help them through it.
So looking it up at Nurture Co. would be going to nurtureco.com or .co, excuse me. That's nurture, nurtureco.co. And also there's going to be an app which launches in October 2017, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you said a lot of the information there is going to be free.
Oh, yeah. The tools and trainings or the care management will be part of our platform. It's a SaaS platform, and it's for home care agencies. Hmm. But we are giving away stress management tools for caregivers. And a lot of these things, the caregivers, I encourage them to do with the seniors. You know, these are breathing practices. Our foundation of the curriculum is very yoga-based, mindfulness meditation, and breath work.
Wow. Okay. So I was going to ask you exactly that. So one of the main foundations is the mindfulness based meditation. And so what are you encouraging or what are you teaching in that?
Some very basic things. We start with the breath. The breath is the foundation of life, and it is a critical component in hospice care. And it can be very scary to be sitting with someone for the last 45 minutes or sometimes 4 hours or 4 days. Because they're breathing, they have no control of their breath, let's say. So it's a magical moment to be witness to that when someone is passing. But in terms of the curriculum, everything starts with the breath. So you can just try this right now. If you try to take a deeper exhale, 5 to 10 seconds extra. So just keep exhaling and feel that your stomach muscles squeeze the air from the lungs. And then take a big breath into the lowest part of your lungs and your belly will expand. So just this simple practice, and just doing 2 or 3 minutes of this consciously will increase your circulation. It'll lift your spine. Your posture gets better. Digestion gets better. You start thinking better. So that's where we start. Very simple, very easy. And then we have yoga practices for joint care. Caregivers have tremendous stress in lifting patients, in cooking, cleaning. I mean, they really do everything. They are superheroes. Mm. So I look to fuel them with everything from asana, yoga practices, the breathing, and meditations where they can focus more on themselves and less on everyone else, listen to their own needs, and prioritize their own needs instead of everyone else's all of the time.
I got a catchphrase for you that just came to mind. Lamaze for caregivers.
Okay. It is like that, yes.
That's my superpower, is to say silly things like that.
Right. So, well, hopefully we'll get Mark's superpower, too. So,
that's one of them. Actually, you were talking about yoga, and then I'm reminded that you have a background in yoga. So how does that support this?
One reason I went into senior care professionally is that at the age of 18, I was in a car accident and I fractured all of my cervical vertebrae. I was rear-ended. So I had whiplash, but it resulted in 2 years of rehabilitation. I opted not to fuse my spine. And I literally knew what it was like to tell my body to move, my hands, my feet, but nothing would happen.
Oh, wow.
And that was about 6 months of not having access to, you know, full access to my limbs. And having a lot of support and help to get up, to bathe, I had to have a caregiver at 18 years old.
Wow.
And I'd already been a caregiver, so I knew, and I didn't want to create any burden for any of my friends. It was such a stressful thing to ask for help when you're a caregiver. Very big lessons for me.
And at that age, on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, to have that consciousness, yes. So you were like an old person in a sense, some older people. A lot of them.
Yes.
Already at 18. Okay.
So that was a very big reason to why I went into senior care. And I got on a tangent a bit. I think I've forgotten your question.
Yeah, no, actually, me too, because I didn't know this about you, because I knew you did yoga. And
yes,
you
that's coming how we got
here
there.
Looking so lovely and you move so gracefully and all that. And you're telling me that you almost had your spine fused.
Yes. And yoga was the best medicine. I tried everything Western, from steroids to, considering the surgery to pain meds. I took pain meds for one day and I thought, well, I can't even remotely think clearly. And I was in my undergrad at the time. So I needed to think clearly and I wanted to get back on my feet. And I found a meditation teacher first. And I had met that teacher a few months before the accident. And
interesting.
You know, yes, exactly. I also found a book on yoga the day before the car accident.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So spirits always
all lined up.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's how I found yoga. And it's been my best medicine now for 20 years. So it's I was a scientist and I wanted to see if these things really worked.
Mm.
So I would practice them on myself, but I practiced them more with seniors. I would go to nursing homes, even in college, volunteer and teach these things and see if they worked. And they did. And it just, the progression for me went from having one-to-one experiences with seniors or group classes to noticing, well, they really need a care team. Find them someone, one of my friends or a nursing student or someone for $10 an hour to come over and care for them. And then I would manage more of their wellness care.
Wow.
Their well care. Yeah.
A lot of experiential training.
Yeah. What, you were born to do this.
I was definitely born to do this. I've tried a few times to get away from it, but, you know, I'm like a magnet to this work, and I'm going to keep doing it for a long time.
Wow. Wow. I'm so happy to hear this, because it's something that is so needed, and you seem to have your finger on the pulse of how to do it, and not just how to do it right now, but like the next way, like how to do it better. And taking care of the caregivers, what a brilliant concept. You said yoga was the best medicine, and I want to bring it back to something that you were saying before too. I believe that, because obviously you're living proof, and the best medicine we've heard is laughter, and I believe in that too. But back to your patients, I think that's the best medicine too, because I've seen caregivers give care while yelling at somebody and complaining at somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they've been there for way too many hours, or they're hurting too. But at the same time, it almost feels like if you don't help, it's maybe better, because
that's a great point. And that's what I tell my caregivers. It's a lot better if you call us and let us know that you're short fused.
Aren't in a position to deliver, right?
That's something I saw at 16. This is, you know, another reason why I'm still in the game with senior care. I saw nurses abuse patients, and I couldn't believe it. I saw nurses lie to patients and tell them that when their husband had passed away and stopped visiting them, that they would come tomorrow. Just, it's okay.
This still haunts me because I saw a lot of that at that young age. And every time I see a senior care facility, that goes through my mind of wondering who is and isn't being mistreated. And I hate that that thought even comes up, but I think that's why this is so needed, because I think, you know, too much of that happens with people not having the right tools or knowing when to just, if you're off, you're off. Take a break.
Yeah, it's hard because they need the money.
Sure.
But really, really they need the tools to help them manage with their own stress so that they're not giving it to others.
Mm. Wow. NurtureCo.co, NurtureCo.co. That's where you could learn more about it. Actually, if you go to Life Changes Show and look up Sierra Campbell, you'll get to hear the show again, and then you'll get all the links there because she's on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, etc. Mainly, most of them Nurture Co. So you should be able to find her and the company easily. We'll be talking to her for just a couple more minutes when we come back, and then we're going to have live music here in the studio with Alfio, all on the Life Changes Show after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Sierra Campbell. This has been such a great and important conversation. I so wish you well with that. We want to be involved. I just know it, and hope we can do something together. And what is your big hope for Nurture Co. and the people that get to benefit from this?
My big hope is that caregivers come to our website, that they sign up, give us your email, and we'll give you a lot of tools to help manage stress. And then beyond that, after October, my goal is to train as many people in compassionate care, especially young people.
Nice.
So if we can find ways to get 16 to 22-year-olds engaged in mindfulness-based care, I think we can solve a lot of the world's problems.
Nice. And that website again, NurtureCo.co. And that's right. I remember you said something before the show about if you give her them your email, then you're going to get information up until the app launches. And then I think the app will take it from there, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And that'll be October 2017. NurtureCo.co. Sierra Campbell, what a pleasure. And thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Sure.
Well, here comes one of our favorite parts of the show, the Ask Dorothy segment. But before we do that, Mark, I think we have a shout out.
Yeah, we want to give a shout out to our friends at Cosmic Kids, which is a groundbreaking new enrichment program designed to help children of all ages develop their intelligence, character, and emotional intelligence. Filled with colorful stations of discovery, specifically designed to unleash the imagination and encourage self-directed play, Cosmic Kids offers unbounded possibilities in crafting, entertainment, exploration, and adventure. At Cosmic Kids, children learn essential life skills, including inner wisdom, the power of one's thoughts, personal conflict resolution, self-awareness, confidence, self-esteem, and so much more. Check them out. Go to cosmickids.org.
Nice.
Dorothy. Joan from Las Vegas asks, I have been in a relationship for almost 10 years, with a man that I love with all my heart. The challenge is that he is depressed most of the time and that he has gigantic mood swings. Some days he is so elevated in consciousness and is absolutely amazing, and then other days he is totally unconscious and self-destructive and says awful things to me. He says he loves me, and yet he doesn't feel like love. I have supported him in every possible way, and I am exhausted. I am not the only one he has issues with, and often hear him describe situations where he is the victim. And lately, he has started to blame me for the shape his life is in. How do I cope with his behavior?
Joan, I believe we must choose to love ourselves more than the ones we share our lives with. Depression is contagious, and what I believe would be good for both of you is to walk away from this. Since it has been going on for 10 years, it's past time for you to truly examine your role in this situation. Let's ask yourself if it's in your highest and best good, and if it is in his highest and best good to ignore his bad behavior. I think not. For over 10 years, I was in a similar relationship with my ex, and I put up with his emotional, mental, and spiritual abuse out of the mistaken belief that he truly loved me. However, I learned that love is not abusive and that it is not exhausting. Love is patient, kind, and compassionate, gracious, and supportive. If you're giving more and more and receiving less and less in this relationship, it is time to set yourself free. I know from personal experience that it's not easy to walk away from someone we love, and yet often it is the most loving thing we can do for ourselves and for the one we love. He will have an opportunity to look at himself and might make the best choice possible for him in this situation. He may need to continue to be depressed and see himself as a victim, or he could use this as a wake-up call to become the best that he can be. It doesn't really matter what choice he makes. What matters is for you to choose to love yourself enough to remove yourself from a damaging situation. As hard as it might be to walk away, it is the most loving thing you can do for both of you. I believe it's always good to walk away from people in situations that are likely to steal our happiness and peace of mind. I trust that you will find the strength to make a choice that works for your highest and best good.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if any of you listeners have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Indeed. And when we come back, Alfio will be singing here live for us in the studio on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back, and I'm so excited to have my friend, another friend, actually, in the studio, one who I've known for a long time. He's a two-time Emmy-nominated singer, songwriter, and so much more. Alfio, welcome to the show.
Hello, Felipe.
I knew this would be trouble as soon as we decided we were going to do this. It's truly a pleasure having you here. And, you know, there's so much I know about you that people don't know about you. And I would love for them to know because you're such a great guy. There was something you shared that I didn't know about you, and it was inspired by our guest being here today.
And after hearing everything that this wonderful Sierra, beautiful lady has done, is doing with her life and helping the most important people in the world is the elderly. Because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. And a lot of us forget that as we get, you know, through life. Is that I have a great auntie. She's my grandfather's sister-in-law, but she's on my mum's side. She's my second great auntie. So, and when I go back to Sydney, I live with her, and she just turned 90. And when I go there, I stay upstairs, like in a separate house from where she is, but it's on the same block of land. And I'll go out every morning to see if she's okay, help her out, whatever she needs, cook lunch, cook dinner. And I love her like my own grandmother, even probably more so. And I've called the ambulance for her on two occasions. You know, I've done so many things for her, and it's just I don't question myself why I do it. I just do it because I love her and I want to help her. And you know, she's got a son who lives there with her. He's not 100% mentally developed.
He might be listening to the show.
He's not listening to the show.
Oh, okay.
And so he's 56 years old, and I said Tony, how do you do you like, you know, living here with your mum and everything? And he's very frustrated. I see his frustration. Because the older she gets, the more she's relying on him. And so every second of the day, it's like, Nino, that's his name in Italian. Get me this, or Nino. He gets really frustrated. He hasn't got the capacity to understand that she's going to get worse and worse. I said, Tony, she's going to get worse and worse and worse. You've got to be more patient. Don't forget, if it wasn't for her, you wouldn't be here.
Patience.
You
know? There's it
and
is
it's
again.
So, it's so hard to transmit. On top of dealing with her being in need of so much, I've got to deal with him like abusing her for needing the
and
care.
There
and
it
it's,
is.
It's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what do you do, Felipe?
Well, actually, I'm not the one to ask. Sierra is the one to ask. And after the show, you all need to talk. And this is the kind of wisdom that she's putting on her website. Yeah. And we're grateful for that. And I'm glad that you shared that, because you're this guy, you stand on stage, you're on PBS, and you've done all these great things and all that. Actually, I'm going to say, by the way, in case you're hearing and you're wondering what you're hearing, he's Australian. And he can sing in five languages.
That's not my fault.
There's no fault. So he can sing in five languages. He's Italian also. And he's hilarious. He's Emmy-nominated performer. Also, he brings... this is what has been said about him. I like this. He brings a powerhouse voice and disarming stage presence to the U.S. from Australia. Like you just did. You literally just landed. Thank you for being here. You literally just did. With, you know, and then his PBS concert special. What's it called? Alfio?
Alfio in Concert.
Alfio in Concert. And then your live shows. And in the shows, you celebrate the music of Elvis Presley and Sinatra and Bocelli. And you've even been compared to some of them. But today, you're going to be singing some of your original songs, right?
True stories, Felipe.
Okay. So what are we going to be hearing first?
I think the first one is a song which I wrote called After Love. And I wrote this about 2 or 4 years ago. And it's on the PBS concert. It's on the album called After Love. It's a title track of the album. And it, are we ready to cue it? Can I say, and it goes a little bit like this?
No,
and you'll press the
no,
button
don't,
and endless music will start playing?
Don't no. say that yet because
no, I'll leave it to you.
Now that I know you're going to sing that, I have to say that, yeah, about 4 years ago, you called me up and you said,
oh, I did, didn't I?
I think I wrote a really nice song.
Thank you.
And so then you sat at the piano and you played it for me. And I'm like, that's a hit. I love it. Wow. You really think so? And so it was great to when the song came out or when the PBS show came out and I got to see you do it live. That was great. And then about 2 months ago, I came to see you sing in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And we were in a car with
Vin.
Can I say this?
Of course you can. With
the, go ahead. The Von, you said the Bronx Wanderers.
Were you going to say the Bronx Wanderers?
The
Bronx Wanderers.
Vinny of the
Vinny
Bronx
from the Bronx Wanderers. And he's driving along in his Mercedes, and he's got, we're in the back seat.
Yeah.
There's my manager in the front. I'm in the back. His girlfriend in the middle, and Filippo on the side, on the right hand side, and Vinny loves this song. All right.
So he said, "I'm going to play you my favorite song as we're going down the strip in Vegas."
He's blasting it so loud. I'm in the back, and there's video footage of this on my Instagram page.
That's my fault.
And if you ever see, me nervous, this is the time because. He was driving, and the music was loud, and it was reckless, and I was scared for my life.
And we were all singing except you.
And everyone was singing except for me. So
we all know it, and we all love it, and you'll be singing it too after you hear him, because it's that good and catchy. And here is Alfio singing After Love live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
Six 6:00 on Friday night, no candlelight, all alone again tonight. There's no use in trying to hide this empty heart, just cannot be disguised. Sized by yesterday, and I don't see how good I am today, but I still believe life after love, you, and I'll find a way. I'd lay beside you, hanging on to every breath you take. But tonight I sleep without you, I'll be fine. It happens all the time. Voices in my head keep trying to reason with my heart so hopelessly, but I still believe in life after love. I still believe I'll find a way, and I'll find a way. I still believe
and after love.
Bravo, Alfio.
All right.
Thank you so much. That was Alfio singing After Love. You could get Alfio's music anywhere where music is sold. You could go directly to alfiomusic.com. That's Alfio, A-L-F-I-O, music.com.
Well, for those listening in Italy, it's www.alfiomusic.com.
Very nice. Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay. So what just happened there? I was trying to... Okay. So YouTube.com.
What happened?
Did you all hear that? I mean, I heard...
Usually you do that. You invited me onto your show.
That's what happened.
That's what happened. Yeah.
You know, I have to say, I'm so proud of you and so impressed. Literally, I spoke to him 2 days ago in Australia.
With a cold.
And he had a cold. And I'm
cold.
Like, what's going on? And he says, yeah. Oh, my auntie's got a cold and my cousin. And and I said, and you're taking a 20-hour flight to L.A. to do the show. Are you sure you're going to be able to do this? You pick your hardest song. Thank you for doing that 1 year. Was that for me or for Vinny?
That was for you, Filippo.
Okay, so can I continue? YouTube, it's Alfio Music.
Yep,
and
yep,
Facebook is Alfio Music.
Yep,
basically
yep.
Alfio Music.
Except Instagram, it's Alfio Official.
Oh, all
right. But don't be disheartened by that.
We can handle it. Hey, can we give a shout-out, speaking of the manager, can we say, hi, Nina.
Hi, Nina.
Hi, Nina.
Hi,
Nina Buetti. Wish you were here. So you're going to sing one more song for us.
Like right now?
Well, why? Do you want to tell a joke or something?
Can I take half an hour break and then come back with the next song?
I know. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
And I did offer because he plays piano. Can I tell one more song? Story? This is supposed to be about you, but...
That's all right.
So we were at a festival and I came to see your show and there was a band playing at a whole other stage like half a mile away.
There was about six bands playing. It was ridiculous. Yeah,
but there was one band that And Alfio heard the music, and in the middle of his song, and he was playing, he changed this, somehow modulated to the key of what the other band was playing, and started singing that song
along in the
perfect key. I mean,
that's called real surround sound. It was all over the whole park.
It was very funny, but it's very talented. You're very talented.
Thank you. You can play the guitar, you can play the keyboard.
You know, you don't have to just sing, but no, you're going to do it.
Thanks, Filippo.
You're a doer. So what are you going to do exactly?
Can we thank Mark Leisure?
Yeah.
Thank you.
For what?
Just for being here and being so nice to put up with you all the whole time.
Oh, man.
Somebody that gets me.
You know, I love you. Wow.
Like he's my caregiver or something? Is that what you're getting at?
You got to speak to her.
Show the caregiver some love.
I need some tools.
Is really, of all the things that we could talk about and promote, for where are you going to be singing next? You're going to be in...
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, the 16th, which is on Sunday. It's a big feast of the Giglio. They have this massive tower that they parade through the streets of Williamsburg.
Yeah, I've seen
in Brooklyn, and that's pretty awesome. It's been for 102 years. It's been doing that for.
You're going to be also in San Jose. You're going to be
San
in Wisconsin
Jose,
or something.
September 24th. Where am I? Boston, not Boston. No, Chicago, not Chicago. Michigan.
Yes,
on July 23rd.
Right.
Yes, true stories.
But all this information is available at alfiomusic.com.
Yes,
and if people actually go backstage, not backstage, but he comes out and signs CDs and stuff. He's actually people like, oh, he's so nice, and they come and are you? Alfio's?
They don't really know me that well, do they? They don't really know me.
I know you that well. Would you stop putting yourself down? What are you doing?
But I do it because
this
it's funny.
This is the Life Changes. Is it?
Yes.
This is the Life Changes show. We're gonna get to hear one more song, and this song is called.
You're my song.
You're my song.
Yeah, I wrote this song because I was in love with someone and it was a beautiful song at the time. And you know, the funny thing about songs, Filippo, is, you know, you don't look for advice from songs because they were written at a certain time in that person's life. So, you know, when I can't live if living is without you, guess what? That person's still living and they're without that person. Do you know what I mean?
Wait, so
that was for that period of time in that person's life who wrote that song. But unfortunately, the song is eternal and it lasts forever. So people can hear that music 100 years later.
But there will be times when people need that.
Yeah, that's true. But
right?
Songs are written for a certain time and right. certain events in the person's life that's written the song.
So you're telling us not to listen to the lyrics? Is that it?
Don't take
if
it personally.
Suits you, if it suits you, take it in and enjoy it. If it doesn't suit you, don't worry about it.
Okay, thank you.
It'll suit somebody.
Thank you for the caveat. And
you're most welcome.
If it suits you, here is Alfio singing "You're My Song" live on the Life Changes Show here in Studio NoHo.
Meet with mine. My heart's barely beating when I see the love in your smile. You're my favorite song. I hear music in silence surrounding my head. You don't make a sound, but you sing to me with your symphony. Over and over, forever, your music will play for me. Together forever, I'll never stop loving your singing. You're my song, all that I dreamed you would be. I am strong now that I found you. You break through my heartaches and tears. It's never been so clear. I will always love you.
I don't know how you did it. My hat's off to you. Thank
Bravo.
You so much.
If you get a cold, don't come on the Filippo show. All right.
Alfio, thank you so much for being with us. AlfioMusic.com. Learn about his schedule there. Hear him also on YouTube at Alfio Music. Also find all the fun stuff he posts on Facebook and Instagram at Alfio Music. And you can see the video of all of us singing love after life after love. Anyway, so and thank you, Sarah Campbell, for being with us today. What a special show this has been. I don't want to see it end, but let's just call this the beginning. So with that, I want to give a special thank you also to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so good.
Thank you, Brent.
And a thank you to Doug Newsom at BBS Radio for being our network manager. On behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and Mark Legere, our producer, I am Filippo Voltaggio reminding you all that as life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.